In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. So today's reading, a young man comes up to Jesus to ask a burning question. But let's just put it into context. Jesus has been traveling around Galilee, bit of a Holy Land tour and doing some teaching as he goes, if you like. And he's now in an area beyond the Jordan. Last week we had harvest, but if you're at Preston St. Mary, remember we went onto the lectionary. If we'd have not had harvest, we'd have been on lectionary last week. And Jesus is asked by two groups of Pharisees his position on divorce. And whether, according to one group of Pharisees, it was a very strict cause that there could be divorce, and more liberal Pharisees who could say, well, many reasons. And he gives his view on that. He was getting drawn into a debate between two groups of Pharisees. And then he speaks about children. The disciples had tried to prevent the children coming to Jesus. He said, no, let them come. And then he's setting off on another journey, the next bit of his Holy Land tour. And this man ran up to him and kneels. It's a sign of showing honor to somebody, of respect. Much as if we were to have a member of the royal family come in, we might bow. Shake hands. Or when you're wearing clothes like this, you might curtsy. And he asks a question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There's a little bit of a debate. Jesus saying, why are you calling me good? Because only God is good. And then Jesus continues the discussion, which seems to be an implication. Well, you've said, good teacher, only God is good, and I'm going to keep talking, implying I'm God. Or maybe that young man had recognized something of the divine in Jesus. But notice what he asks. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we need to think a little bit of Jewish thought about what eternal life meant to them. They didn't mean just the life after you die, sitting on fluffy clouds playing a harp. In the age they were living, they thought of broken humanity, of corrupt temple worship, of oppression, of the wicked getting away with it. But the age to come was the age when all that would be dealt with. People would be set free. The wicked would face judgment. And God would purify the temple. And God would live with his people. That's what eternal life, the age to come, meant in Jewish thought, and still does. And this young man says, what must I do to inherit that? And Jesus says to him, you know the commandments. And he starts with the sixth commandment, the things that you shall not do to other people. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. That's a paraphrase on thou shalt not covet. Because if you're coveting something of somebody else's, you're wanting to defraud them of it, take it away from them. And then he adds in the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. And this young man says, I've done that since my youth. I've kept the commandments. From youth, that would be when he came of age, at the age of 12, what we would maybe know as bar mitzvah, when a young Jewish boy went from being a child to being an adult. I've kept them since my youth, so I must be okay. And Jesus looked at him, not with judgment, not with condemnation, but looked at him and loved him. Just as an aside, brothers and sisters, when people come and ask us questions about faith, what is our reaction to maybe questions that we think are, well, they're obvious. The answers are obvious. Do we look on people with love, or do we look on them with judgment? I'll just leave that thought with you. But this young man has said, I've kept these commandments since my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Just one thing. It's interesting he doesn't say the thing that he lacks. He tells him something to do about it. Sell what you own. Give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And the young man was shocked and went away grieving because he had many possessions. Now, maybe for the younger ones amongst you, or the more mature ones who have good taste in music, you'll have heard of an artist, Meatloaf. Meatloaf had a very famous song, not only Bat Out of Hell. Can I say that in a church? Bat Out of the Church we could do with. We wouldn't have so many bat droppings around. But Bat Out of Hell. But one of his famous songs was, I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. And people miss in the lyrics what the that is. And Meatloaf was constantly being asked, what's the thing you will do that you won't do for love? And his answer was, go and read the lyrics, it's in there. Eventually, he went public and pointed people to it. The thing, and I hope I don't spoil this for anybody, but the thing that Meatloaf wouldn't do for love was forget a former relationship. So I will always remember that relationship. I won't forget that in order to move on and love again. Okay, so if you've ever wondered what it meant, that's what it meant. Jesus is sort of putting a similar question to the young man. Is there a case where you're going to say to me, I'll do anything to follow you, but I won't do that? Give up my possessions. They're too important to me. And the disciples say, you know, this is so difficult. And Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Now, don't hear me say everybody has to give up their possessions. Because Jesus doesn't say that to other people that followed him. There were rich people and rich women that supported Jesus, and rich women like Lydia who supported the work of the Apostle Paul. Riches in themselves are not a problem. It's how you're attached to them. And this is very specific to this young man. You may have heard it said that Jesus is using the example of the eye gate in Jerusalem, that a camel had to get down on its knees. I'm not going to do that in these clothes. To go through. You know how a camel goes down on its knees? If you've heard that, it's rubbish. There was never an eye gate. Jesus is using the most ridiculous exaggeration to make his point. Imagine taking a camel and taking it to the spinners and weavers who meet on a Monday in the village hall and say, here, we've got a camel. Spin that out into a thread that goes through the eye of a needle, a literal needle that you would sew with. That is what Jesus is saying. That is how difficult it is for somebody who is attached to their possessions, attached to anything, to give up and follow me. The historian Josephus tells us that Nicodemus in John chapter 3 comes up to Jesus and asks about eternal life and being born again. Jesus says he must be born again. It's quite likely that this young ruler, and in the other Gospels it talks about rich young ruler, was Nicodemus, who here goes away upset at the challenge that Jesus puts to him. But if it's Josephus, and we believe Josephus of the history, is correct, he must have had a change of heart, because Josephus recalls that Nicodemus, who went and took the body of Jesus from the cross with Joseph of Arimathea, was rich to begin with, but was then poor. It seems to imply that he did follow what Jesus said eventually. So what about you and me? If we were to ask Jesus and make the mistake of, what must I do, when actually it's about the gift that we can receive of eternal life from Jesus as a result of the work of the cross, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. But we ask, what can we do? What would Jesus say to me or to you that we're attached to that would prevent us following him? For some of us, it might be our wealth and our possessions. For others, it might be our status. It might be something else. We're all different. The challenge I leave you with this morning is, put yourself in the place of this young man going to Jesus and saying, asking that question, what might Jesus say to you that you have to make changes and follow him? Amen.